several weeks. So they've heard about five of these already, and I'm sure you will be patient with me, will you, when I tell it to the grown-ups, just so they can catch up. And we'll ask to our new. So maybe could somebody give me the first picture, Josh or Finlay? This one? Yeah, thank you. In the beginning, the baby was born. And God chose Mary to be the mother of God. Now listen, this is important. God chose Mary to be the mother of God, and the Word was born, a wordless child. Mary and Joseph held the baby close. They kept the baby warm, and they gave the baby everything he needed to grow. And he did grow. Can you see this picture? The baby grew up to be a big boy, and here is Jesus when he's 12 years old. When Jesus was 12, he went with his mother Mary and his father Joseph and lots of people from their village. They went up to the city of Jerusalem for one of the high holy days. And when all the celebrations were over, Mary and Joseph went back through the great gates of Jerusalem and back down the road on the way to Nazareth. After they'd been travelling for about a day, they began to realise that Jesus wasn't there. They thought he'd been playing with the other boys or walking with one of the other families, but he wasn't. They ran back to Jerusalem. And they searched through all the dark, narrow streets, but they couldn't find him anywhere. Finally, they even looked in the temple. And there he was. He was talking to the priests and the rabbis, and they were listening to him because he knew so much. And then Mary and Joseph asked the question. The question that all parents ask. The question there's never an answer to. They said, "Why did you do this?" Jesus gave a strange answer. He said, "Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house?" Mary and Joseph didn't understand. His father's house was in Nazareth, next door to his father's carpenter shop. They didn't understand, but they didn't forget either. The boy grew up to be a man. And here's Jesus when he's 30 years old. When Jesus was 30, he went down to the River Jordan where his cousin John was baptizing people. Here's his cousin John. You can just see the back of his head. John was a wild man. Jesus went right into the Jordan and walked right up till he was face to face with John. And John looked at him, and it was as if he saw him for the first time. John said, "You're the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for. You should baptize me." But Jesus said, "No. No, it's written that you'll come first and prepare the way." baptize me?" And Jesus went down into the chaos and darkness of the water. And when he came out into the light, some people said they saw a dove come down from heaven and stay close to Jesus. And other people said they heard a voice and it said, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." And Jesus then went right through to the other side of the River Jordan and he went out into the desert. He went to the desert maybe to find out more about who he was and what his work was going to be. Here's Jesus in the desert. Jesus stayed in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. There's not much to eat or drink in the desert. When he was there, a voice came to him and said, "Do you see those stones over there? Why don't you turn them into bread and eat something?" Jesus said, "No. No, to be really human, you need more than bread to eat." And then it was as if Jesus was standing right at the top of the great temple in Jerusalem. And the voice said to him, "Throw yourself down, and the angels will catch you before you fall." And Jesus said, "No. It's not right to test God." And then it was as if Jesus could see all the kingdoms of the world stretched out in front of him. And the voice said, "If you bow down to me, I will make you king over all these kingdoms."
And that didn't stop.
But Jesus said, "No. No, I will be a king. But not that kind of king." So Jesus, when the 40 days and nights were over, he came back out of the desert. He went through to the other side of the Jordan and he began to do his work. I wonder what his work was going to be. You want to put that up there for me, camera? Oh, Finley, do you want to pop it up there for me?
Pop it.
Going to pop it up there for me? Pop it up on there. Okay. Thank you.
I'll do the next one now.
Okay, thank you. You do the next one. So, what was Jesus' work? Jesus' work was to come close to people. Look, here's Jesus coming close to a blind man. And when Jesus came close to him and touched his eyes, the blind man could see. Jesus came close to the kind of people that no one else wanted to come close to. When Jesus came close to people, they saw things they'd never seen before. And they could do things they could never do before. They became well. Jesus also taught and told stories. Wonderful stories. Stories that explain things to people. Things that people had not understood, not since the beginning of the world. We call these stories parables. And Jesus realized that he had to become a parable. And so he set his face to go towards Jerusalem for the last time. Christopher, do you want to
Well,
no, Christopher's going to be up for So Jesus went to Jerusalem for the last time. There were many people in Jerusalem. It was the time of the Passover, and there were people from lands all over the world. And many people thought that Jesus was going to come and be a king. But they hadn't been paying attention. Jesus didn't ride into Jerusalem on a great white horse. And he wasn't carried by soldiers. He came on a donkey. And it wasn't even his donkey. He had borrowed a donkey. On the Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Jesus taught in the temple. And at night time, he went and stayed at the Mount of Olives. And the people whispered amongst themselves. They said, "Great armies of angels meet him in the Mount of Olives, and they're going to come and throw out the Roman soldiers." On the Thursday, the temple guards said, "We're going to take him today." But on Thursday, they couldn't find him. And in the evening, Jesus and his friends went through the dark streets, and they went to an upper room and had the Passover feast together for the last time. When they'd eaten all their meal, Jesus took bread and he broke it and he said, "When you break bread together, I'll be with you." And he took a cup of wine and he said, "When you drink a cup of wine like this together, I will be with you." They didn't really understand what that meant. He was always saying things like that. They didn't understand, but they didn't forget. And later, one day, they would understand. Then Judas got up and left. And the rest of them sang a song and then went down to the Mount, to get Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus prayed by himself, and then he joined his friends. And just as he was speaking to them, Judas came out of the shadows and kissed Jesus. It was a signal to the temple guards. And they came out of the shadows and they took Jesus. They grabbed him and they took him away. And all his friends disappeared into the darkness. Finley, do you want to pop this
in? Can I put the next one up?
Can you get back to me?
Can I put that one up?
Can you pop it up on there? Pop it up here. Thank you. Right. Somebody's...
Can I put that one up?
Okay.
Can I put that one up?
Right, Simon, sit down. Shane, you can do the next one. Do you want to come and sit down? That was a confusing night. And the next day, Jesus was taken outside the city wall and he was crucified. And that afternoon, Jesus died. And the sky grew dark and he was taken down from the cross and he was put in a grave. And a great stone, it was a cave, and a great stone was rolled across the mouth of the cave, just like a door. And on Saturday, it was so quiet, you could even hear the earth breathe.
You hear the tiger in there.
Oh, Jesus. On Sunday, it was the women who had the courage to go to the tomb. They wanted to be near Jesus. They wanted to remember, even if it was sad. But when they got to the tomb, the stone was rolled to the side and nobody was there. They went inside and there was nothing there. They didn't know what to think. Suddenly, two men in bright white clothes were standing beside them and they said, "Why are you looking in a place of the dead for someone who's alive?" Well, they still didn't know quite what to think. So they ran back to all the rest of his friends. And they said, "Could Jesus be alive?" And all the men said, "Nonsense." But Peter and John ran back to the cave. And when John saw the cave was empty, he believed that Jesus was alive. Peter still didn't know what to think. But later that day, Peter met Jesus and he believed. Nobody knows what happened, but Peter believed. And later again, Jesus came to a room where all his friends were. And they all saw him. And he sat down with them and he ate and he drank with them. And they all knew he was alive. Jesus had died on a cross. But he'd become alive again. He was alive and he was still with them, just like he's still with us today. And see, when you see this side, the crucifixion, you always know that on this side is Easter Day when Jesus is alive. And when you see this side is there. There's both. You cannot separate them. And that is the mystery of Easter. And look, when we put it here, the colour changes. It's white. It's the colour of celebration because Easter is pure celebration. Now we're going to do something to celebrate Easter. Now, we know how we celebrate Easter, don't you? Well, Colin's going to give you something to do.
Who likes Easter egg hunts? All right. Now, there was a lot at the end of that story there about people looking, wasn't there? People hunting, people looking for Jesus. Looking here, looking there, going to the tomb, running, meeting him in gardens, meeting him on the road. Where was he? So what you're going to do is go and hunt for some nice goodies. But we're going to do it with an Easter theme. So what you're going to do is you ask some of these people here, I think, may have something of interest to you. They don't all have something, but some of them have something. And so you're going to ask them a question. You have to listen to me so that you get this. The question you're going to ask them is he here? Can you all ask that? Is he here? And if these people out here don't have anything that's of interest to you, they'll say, he's not here, he's risen. Can you say that? He's not here, he's risen. And if you do have something that is of interest to you, they'll say, he's risen indeed. And they will give you something. All right, so you've got to hunt for it and find it. And at this point, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, men and women, this is where you yield up the envelope. No holding on to it, all right, and taking it home for later. All right, so what are you going to ask? That's right. Off you go then. Go and find them all and bring them back to the basket. All kids, bring it back to the basket that's here somewhere. Just stick them on there, on the top. Just put them on the side here. That's it. Just put them on the step just now. We'll make sure everyone gets one then. They're hiding out there somewhere. Make sure you ask everyone. They have to be yielded up. Come and put them on the step here, just on the step. There we are. Kirsty's got the baskets there. We'll pop them in the basket and they'll all be shared out. The joy will be had by all. Come and bring the puppet in the basket. Drop it in the basket. Yeah, I think they're not all for Kirsty. I wonder what could be in them. Are there any more around? That's it. Pop it in the basket and you'll be able to enjoy them in a minute. Pop it in the basket there. That's lovely. Isn't that great? Good. Any more? Are there some hiding? Would you just like to give a wave if you're in the vicinity and you haven't been? Oh, I see. Big wave. Can you see children where the waves are? Are there any more waves? I don't know. Well, shall we find out? Would you like to say into the microphone, are there any more?
Are there any more?
No. That's it. Okay, let's give the children a clap for doing that. Well done, kids. And we're going to let the children go off in a moment. Just one thing to say is to acknowledge the birth of, I've forgotten, Daniel George Enova. On Thursday... Christina's not here today, so hopefully when she comes, I think it was a cesarean, wasn't it? So she's having a little bit of a recovery there. But she's home 8.5 pounds on Thursday. So, Paul, congratulations. Let's just encourage Paul and Christina. And we will welcome you properly when Daniel comes along with you. That's great. Okay, we're going to let the children go now to have their meeting. So bless you. Have a good time. And we've just got a couple of things. We haven't, just to let you know, you're not in for a long preach this morning. We haven't got a long preach in store. What we wanted to do is just simply allow the godly play to join us together as a family, children and youngsters this morning. But we have got some other things that are going to be happening. But just to give you some family news, we haven't got slides this morning because John's just gone on holiday. So if you're looking for the familiar slides, we don't have them today. But Hannah, did you have something you wanted to say? Hannah's just out. But just to say that I think Hannah is wanting to organise some help with meals for Stuart and Laura in the usual way that we do when newborns are around. So if you can help and you would like to help, would you see Hannah Hassan before you go and make sure that she knows that. Some of you will be aware, how can you not be aware, how can you miss it, that we are in the run-up to a general election. Even though a general election hasn't been called, everyone knows it's going to be happening. So 2 weeks today here in the King's Hall, we'll be holding something that we've done a number of times now, serving our brothers and sisters in the area in the Newington churches together. We'll be hosting here an election hustings. If you don't know what hustings is, it's a word that's only ever used in election time, really. And it's where we get all the candidates that we can muster, particularly for the Edinburgh South constituency. We've got Neil Hudson for the Conservatives, Fred McIntosh, Lib Dems, Ian Murray for Labour, and someone will come and represent the Greens and SNP, no doubt, as well. And you can ask them all the questions that you would like to ask them. I know particularly some of you are going to be first-time voters. We're going to have some first-time voters this general election. So I particularly want to encourage you to come and submit a question. Ian Maxwell from Kirkafield is going to be chairing it, who's very good at doing these things, but he'd be very happy to get questions from you. And usually it's quite a good turnout. It happens at 3 o'clock on the Sunday afternoon, the 18th of April, and runs till about 5 o'clock. So if you want to find out, if you've got a particular question you want to ask, come along on the 18th of April, and we'll make sure that that happens. Okay, we're going to take up our morning offering as we just prepare for the next part. So again, just feel free to relax. Don't watch the front. Nothing's happening up here for a moment. Chat among yourselves, but we will take up our morning offering just now. Okay, just while we're finishing off taking up the offering, just this morning we wanted to give opportunity for there to be some stories of hope. Resurrection is a fantastic evidence of hope. We live in a society, in our society, where there's precious little hope around. If you ask people on the street, what's your hope? They might say, well, it's to have a comfortable retirement, it's to have good health, not to have illness, it's to see my children cared for, it's to see my family looked after. But when you push beyond that, many, many people today, when you ask, what's your hope for beyond this life, will say, I don't really have one. And resurrection for us is actually a declaration of our real hope in Jesus Christ, that we have a hope that is eternal. And we're just going to a couple of people who are going to come and talk about something of hope in their own lives and what Jesus means to them. And first I want to ask Laurie to come, Laurie Donaldson. He just said a few words last week, so I grabbed him last week and said, Laurie, would you say something to us about your hope? So let's encourage him. Give him some encouragement.
Hi, guys. As Colin said, yeah, my name's Laurie. And I'd basically say that my hope has been split up into three different lives. One in Lanark, one in Skye, and one in this amazing city, Edinburgh. And in Lanark, when I lived there till five, my only memory of God was my mum reading me a Bible with loads of pictures in it. And I always thought a certain character like Jonah or something was God. And then when my mum told me that that was Jonah, I was like, oh. Then when I moved to Skye, I only thought of God and heaven more like the biscuits after church. Oh, they were brilliant. But then about a month before I left Skye into this amazing city, I went to this tent mission, and they were from Perth, and they had this amazing bus that had like Scotland flags and TVs in it. And that's like all the non-Christians just went on it just to have fun. And me and my friend Kenneth, who's here today from Skye, we both were just looking at each other like, oh, do you want to go up? And I thought I really made my commitment to God then. And then when I moved to Edinburgh, it just felt sort of like everything had gone from colour to black and white at first. And a week later, after moving, I fell on a cage and lost my two adult front teeth. And I was crying my eyes out. But then that night I got a phone call from my grandfather, who unfortunately isn't here today, who said, you know, God's always with you. And then he said a certain line which absolutely made me cry in happiness. It was not until you saw two footsteps until I carried you. And that just blew me away. And I just felt absolutely happy. Even a month later in October when my grandpa died. And when I went to church, I was absolutely fine. And then a week later, I came to this church. And then about 2 years later, not having much experience with God, God revealed himself to me a lot more when I went to an SU camp where I just felt my Christian community went from about this to about the size of this church. And thanks to God, now I just have hope with support of a lot of Christian friends, not having people just having somebody to fall back to if somebody slags you off about your religion. But even if they're not there, I think I've always had God. And then a month later, I went to this NBC, this thing from Morningside Baptist Church in Lenjetmuir, and a man called Peter Winter, he's doing this thing with Shrewsbury, and it's a thing about one life where we can do, we've only got one life to do everything for God. And because of him, through God, I just want to do everything I can possibly for God to lead everyone. And then when I was living, I had the power to, for the first time in my life, go up in front of the church and just say it out loud. And then, basically, through all of that, I think every single conversation I've ever had, just every time I say, somebody says to me, "How are you?" I always say, "I'm great." I've never actually recently said, because of God, that I'm feeling bad. And thanks to God, I have hope. So thanks to God, know I'm going to live a full life and hopefully let other people live another full life. So for children and family and the support of friends.
Great. Isn't that good to hear? We always just make sure that when folks share like that, we just want to pray for them because, you know, you're putting yourself out on a limb and Laurie put himself out there. So we're just going to pray God's blessing. So let's pray together with me. Father, thank you for Laurie's words of testimony. Thank you that he's a young man whose life is on course with you. And I ask, Lord, that he will be the vehicle, the channel for many other people to know about you and to know your hope through him. And we just pray protection over him now in the name of Jesus, and everything cruel and malicious that would seek to be fired against him, we put a stop to in the name of Jesus. And we ask that he will have really fruitful time in the coming days because he's been standing up here and sharing his faith with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Laurie. Bless you. Okay, Grace has been patiently waiting for quite a long time to share what she's going to share. So encourage Grace.
Good morning. Happy Easter, everyone. This is unfortunately less than ideal Sunday because I won't give away the result, but Mark Webber didn't win the Formula One. And I am in control of this thing. And I get very nervous and mince my words and talk very fast, so please bear with me. Yes, please, something to distract me with. So I have had two double shots of coffee, but the shaking is because I really don't enjoy this. But this is just really important. I've got a whole lot of hope to share, and if I can get through this. I've actually been going to church since I was born. But as you can appreciate, that's not really in my control. I didn't have a whole lot of choice in that. My journey by choice started here with CCE, so that's why I have to share it with you, because it's really important. It's this thing that does that to my voice. Oh, jeez. The other thing is I'm actually on my Ross's niece needs a 24-hour nurse, so I've got a dash after this. They're a bit short-staffed today, so I'll be leaving the building, but it's not because of I'm upset or anything, but just to let you know. The aim of me coming up here is three things, and this is going to be very long-winded, so my apologies. Colin only gave me 5 minutes, but I'm going to go over. I will get through this. Sorry, folks. I want to recognise God, and I want to thank CCE, and I want to tell you about a modern-day miracle, because I didn't actually think God does them anymore. I thought they were all BC, but they're not. They still happen. So just in case you can't follow my mind, I have trouble. That's why I'm here, if you get lost along the way. So April 2005, I came through those glass doors at the front, and I have since found out when you fly across the other side of the world, as you can tell, I'm not from here. It's not normal that you get off the plane in Heathrow and the police interview every 300 passengers. I'd flown through Borneo, landed about 4 hours after the earthquake, I think, and then took off before the tsunami hit. So I landed in London, and the police wanted to know if we had family or people in Borneo, and I just thought this was normal, but I've done the flight 10 times since and it's never happened again. So when I came to CCE, I flew Boxing Day, it was, wasn't it, the tsunami. I had to work in London for a while, but then I came back here. I'd spent Hogmanay up here, and in April 2005 is when I walked through these doors, and I think I was really looking for community, because it sounds a bit morbid, but I couldn't find out how many people, Australians, had died in the tsunami. It's not a particularly holiday destination for Australians, but I couldn't find it out. I was living in hostels and your internet time's limited and none of the papers would tell me, and I desperately wanted a community, and I came here, and I have this strange fascination with words and numbers. I think because my country's founded on criminals from you lot, so we can't spell or count. So I just... words do fascinate me, and the company I work for, when I first started for them, working for them, our name is Nutricia, Chris Conway, you're not allowed to say anything. I'm not picking on him, I work with his mother, so... the name of the company is Nutricia, and it was Making the Difference was our logo. And, okay, you know I'm a nurse, but that really doesn't say anything about what my company does. We could do wheelchairs or drip stands. We've since changed, and we're now Nutricia... the Advanced Clinical Nutrition. So it gives you a better idea of what we actually do. If you actually want to know about that, go and ask Chris. But my point about that was that I want to say a sentence and it's going to sound incomplete and I need to say more, but it's not. So I'll just pause because I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Community Church Edinburgh is... And I think that's awesome. And I'm so proud to come here. And if you don't know me, yes, I'm crazy. I want to thank you, CCE, because you've carried me in times when I haven't been able to cope. And this church is just truly awesome. I love it. I was talking to my brother when I went home, and I was just talking to him about street passes. I'm going to regret mentioning this publicly because now I'm going to have to do it. I was just saying to him that I want to get involved in street pastors. It's something that really interests me, and he doesn't have a passport, so he's never travelled, and he's like, well, what is it? I said, oh, well, you know, it's people that help people that are out on the town and whatever, and it's a very different culture in Toowoomba, where my brother lives, and he couldn't really understand how that was a need. But his comment was, oh, wow, you actually do stuff, like your church. Because I think that's what he was asking me, was what's your church all about? And I said, community. And it was well proven with street pastors. So it was just really encouraging to be able to share that with my brother, that we do what we say we are. Which just leads me on to the fact that you can't be an island Christian. It's not really possible. Before I went to Australia for Christmas, just recently, I had a lot of trouble with my visa. I don't know if any of you were here, but I was just sharing about it, and it was something I found impossible. And I was talking about a God to me that was really scary. I don't know if you were here. Colin was talking not long ago about Moses when he was talking to the Israelites, and there was a sort of pretty awesome picture of a mountain and clouds, and I could really identify with the Israelites because I think they told God to shut up because he was just so powerful and awesome, And it was scary. And I just was like with the Israelites going, yeah, shut up. I don't have that image of God anymore. And that's why I'm up here annoying your ears with my story, because I don't have that broken telescope anymore, and I've destroyed it, which is just the most amazing experience. My favorite word in the world is colossal. I learned it on a cereal commercial. They added a new flavor, new colossal lime. But anyway, I learned that when I was about 7, and I actually took the time to work out what colossal means. And I've now decided God is colossal. My God's colossal. So the meaning of colossal is of enormous size, gigantic, huge. This is really cool, this next bit. Of a size larger than heroic. That's my God. Now, there's some other words. I think there's synonyms. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I am. I do struggle with the English language. Extraordinary in bulk. He's a Costco shopper. Extent, quantity, or degree. Very great, vast, huge, immense. Of the nature of a prodigy. Now, I didn't know what that meant either, but yeah, a bit simple. A prodigious mountain, or what I hope to be, is a prodigious creature. Stupendous. That doesn't sound like a word you'd use with God, but it is. Astonishing, wonderful, amazing. Especially astonishing in magnitude or elevation. Who wants to know that God? Get to know him. He's pretty cool. So, just in finishing up, oh, I've got to tell you about my miracle. yes, I will be finished soon. So this visa, it will take me hours to explain, but because I'm not Scottish or British, I have to have a very expensive sticker in my passport that allows me to stay and work here legally. So there's all sorts of hoops that you have to go through to get it, and I wanted to do it in person in Glasgow, but it didn't happen. So I had to apply by post. I'd bought plane tickets in June to go home and see my parents for the first time in 3 years, and then I didn't realise I was going to have to apply by post, so it takes 6 months by post, so it was rather unfortunate timing. Anyway, I had faith of about a quarter of a mustard seed come last December, and I wasn't prepared. I couldn't trust God enough to give me a visa to go home. If I asked for my passport back before they gave me a visa, I lost £800 and I lost the right to live and work in this country. So it meant if I went home for Christmas and saw my mum and dad, I couldn't come back until I'd forked out another £800 and probably 6 months of red tape and hoops and carry on in Australia. And I was going to lose my job and be away from my husband for 6 months and, yeah, fun and games. So there was a Sunday that I sort of shared about this because I was really struggling with all of this. Like, it was just too much for me. And I think it was Mags prayed for me, and CCE as a whole prayed that. I didn't even know what Mags prayed, because someone, I think Ian Archibald, was praying for me over there, and I don't know what she prayed for, but I know a lot of people prayed for a miracle. And I was like, yeah, righto, he doesn't do that anymore. That's Jonah and that's everyone else, not me. And it was just funny when Colin said about the sparrows, like, my dad said to me, Grace, you know he cares for the sparrows. And I'm like, good, go give them some birdseed. I just couldn't believe that he would care about me. I know that sounds crazy, but I really didn't. I was like, well, The only thing he'd promised me was Isaiah 43, which was, if you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, I won't leave you at a dead end. And I was like, well, that's nice. Because I could get this sorted out in Australia. It was really difficult, but I knew there was going to be a way out, but I still wasn't prepared for a miracle. And we flew to Australia on the 13th, I think, of December, that Friday. On the Monday, I think that was the 7th, I can't remember, I rang Border Security Immigration and said, I would like my passport back, please. And the guy that I talked to, the poor guy that I talked to, got an earful, said, you do realise you're going to lose your visa? I said, yeah. He said, okay, I'll get that in the post. You might get it by Friday. And I said, no, I need it tomorrow. I'm flying on Friday. So I cancelled my visa and I wasn't even sure I was going to get my passport back to fly. So it was pretty ordinary week. It was just like I'd lost my job at this stage for apparently nothing because I still couldn't even go home. It was just horrible. And this is after Mags had prayed. I was like, yeah, good one, God. And then on the Tuesday, so 24 hours after I'd cancelled it, I don't know if any of you had to deal with border security immigration. You wouldn't because most of you would be residents, citizens. Nothing happens out of the blue. Nothing happens quickly. You can't get information. 24 hours after I cancelled this, I got a visa. And you probably can't appreciate as much as, I don't know, I would like to convey that that is truly a miracle because Monday morning, 9 o'clock, I did not even have a caseworker on my file, on my case. And someone picked it up. And you can say this is chance all you like or coincidence or a nice happy ending. Someone picked that up and they could have just mailed it back to me without my visa. But they didn't. God annoyed them enough to go, oh, hang on, I'll put a sticker in that. It's not chance. That was God looking after me and giving me a miracle, and I think it's pretty amazing. I know this is kind of weird because it's visas and you guys don't have to deal with it, but this is what happened, and I think it's pretty amazing. So to finish up, my fascination with numbers, Grace is my name. I thought it was Disgrace, but I've lost the first three letters. So Grace has five letters. That much I know because I can do it on one hand. Apparently Grace is often referred to as number five as well, and I don't know how much truth this has, but I like it anyway because it helps me get through the day. Four is apparently the number of the world, and four represents man's weakness and helplessness. Four plus one is five, which is when divine strength is added and we are made perfect in our weakness. And God gives me a handful of grace for the moment, and his grace is sufficient.
Just ask Alison to come and pray.
Father, I thank you for Grace. I thank you for her testimony. And many of us remember how we empathized with her when she was needing your miracle and how she got it. But thank you, Father. Thank you that you do miracles today. Thank you that Grace brings us proof of your grace. And thank you that she's lost those three letters. And Father, I pray that nothing would ever bring those letters back to her, that she would always know that four plus one, that grace. I pray that you would protect her for the way that she's shared today. You would protect her and upbuild her and continue to set her free, Father. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to invite the musicians to come back, and we're just going to end maybe with a couple of songs. just as we do that, it's been encouraging, hasn't it, hearing those are real life stories. That's not just someone taking a Bible story, although it's been good. We've heard the scriptures this morning through what Kirsty shared with us, but it's been great hearing of real life. And I think actually if we had time, there would be more stories of hope here that we could share with each other. We're not going to take any more time this morning, but it'd be good to hear more of these stories of hope, more of what God is doing. And if you have things that God is doing in your life that you want to share, feed them back to us, and maybe we can get you to share as well. There's one thing I really want to do, though, just as we end this one, I want to get us to pray for one another. I'm going to ask us to stand for a moment, and simply just to put a hand on the shoulder of the person next to us. I don't want to be just, and we're going to pray for one another. And what I'm going to do, we haven't got this up on the overhead, so we're just going to pray these words and repeat them after I speak them. It's actually a prayer for healing, for blessing, for the life of God to fill us. So as we're praying this for the person who's next to us on our left and our right, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come. So just speak these words after me. In the name of God Most High, in the name of God Most High, may you be released from all that binds you. May you be released from all that binds you. And may you be restored according to his most holy will. And may you be restored according to his most holy will. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Life, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Life, may new life surge through your mortal body. May new life surge through your mortal body. In the name of God, the Holy Spirit, in the name of God, the Holy Spirit, may you receive inward wholeness and peace. May you receive inward wholeness and peace, the peace that passes understanding, the peace that passes understanding. And may God, who brings peace, make you completely his. And may God, who brings peace, make you completely his, and keep your whole being, body, mind, and spirit, and keep your whole being, body, mind, and spirit, free from all fault, free from all fault, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just receive that. Holy Spirit, just work among us. Release anyone this morning who's suffering any pain here in the name of Jesus, any emotional stress, any need. Thank you, Jesus, that you've brought us hope and you want us to go away from this place in hope. If you need more prayer, if you'd like someone to pray with you, don't hold back. Come and speak to us. We'd love to pray with you before you go this morning. Chris.